1 Corinthians chapter 13. Charity never faileth, verse 8. That's our text verse. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul wants to show the church at Corinth how they were to love as a Christian. You know, many of you know, and I know, already studying the books of the Bible, Corinth, the church at Corinth, was not a very good church. In fact, it was a horrible church. Had a lot of problems going on in that church. Paul the Apostle wrote to him and said, hey, he spent 3 years there preaching there. And, man, you'd think a guy spent 3 years there, they'd got it by then, amen? But they didn't get it. And all kinds of things going on. People came and had the Lord's Supper. They got drunk. I mean, literally inebriated. And they were brought a huge amount of food. I mean, they literally, put it in today's vernacular, they had a tailgate party. I mean, just what they did. And there were some that were singing that had nothing, and they wouldn't share. And there's others that had so much that they just threw the rest of it away, man. And on, they had all kinds of trouble in that church. And Paul the Apostle started, and as you would read the scriptures, you find out that he was hitting the basics. He was trying to get them to understand the basics, because if you don't get the basics, you don't get anything. Remember when I was playing football in college and I was redshirted my second year, I got a chance to coach some football at Old Tana, and sixth graders, and it was full pads, and had an opportunity to be there and enjoyed that. And I went to my football coach, our head coach at college, and I said, hey, I've never done this. He said, Shear, teach them the basics. That's all they need to do, the basics. If they can do the basics, you can win games. He said, some of these guys get these football teams and they show them all these fancy-dancy things to do. And he said, these little guys don't get it. Teach them how to tackle. Teach them how to block. Teach them how to hold that ball and teach them how to get off the snap. He said, that's all they need. And run, just run. Can't even think of those things. Run around the end. What do you call those? Huh? Sweeps. Yeah. Just run. And must work. We won every game, and we only had 12 points scored on us in 9 football games in a tremendous time. So teach the basics. May I tell you, if you get back to the basics, you can win a lot of things. 75% of the Christian life is just showing up. It's just showing up to church, amen. Just showing up, being faithful, amen. And when you're faithful, you get under the preaching of the Word of God. And all of a sudden, this preaching of the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, starts hitting you and hitting you and hitting you. And finally said, okay, I'll do it, amen. And that's the story of the Christian life, amen. Well, in fact, he was writing them explaining how they could get a better grip, and may I say, get a hold of this subject of love. Unfortunately, the world has a complete opposite view of love. Wrong ideas and wrong values of what love is all about. There is, therefore, if we move the world, and as the world is captivated by love, man's thought, one man said, when a man's thoughts are captivated by love, it drives men wild and makes him act like a savage beast. Amen. Paul thought it'd be best to teach the Christians had a proper view of love. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he told me the story about a fellow that was walking on the beach, and he just happened to happen on a beautiful bottle that was stuck in the sand. And carefully he found that beautiful treasure and picked it up and started brushing off the side of that bottle, and poof, out come a genie. This is the story. I just thought it's not true, but anyway. And the cork popped out, huge genie came out. Oh, master, thank you for rubbing my bottle. I've been stuck in here for 1,000 years. Thank you. For your kindness, I'll give you one wish, only one wish. And the fellow thought, and he said, you know, I'd like to take my wife to Hawaii. And she'd been bugging me for year after year, but be honest, I'm scared of boats. I hate airplanes. Genie, my wish is you'd build a bridge from California to Hawaii. And the genie thought for a minute. He said, oh, master, do you know how much rebar and cement and drilling and cable and electric wire and paint? Oh, master, I don't think that you understand the troublesome project that you're setting him up to. It's great. It's so complicated. Well, to be honest, my wife and I have had a few fights lately, and she said, I just don't understand her. Okay, I'll make this wish that I can understand my wife. And the genie turned to his master and said, do you want a 2-lane or a 4-lane? Paul wanted the people at Corinth to understand what true Christian love was really about. He wanted them to better understand how to have a more excellent way and what God had in mind and view. And when you go to Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, he closes that last chapter and he states, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And of course he clicks right over there and goes in chapter 13. He wanted the church to see love in its fullness and the most extensive meaning. True love to God and true love to man, he expressed, it is a benevolent disposition of mind towards his fellow Christian, growing out of sincere, fervent devotion to God and Christ. First of all, let's look at the supposed excellence of love. Supposed excellence of love. When he speaks word without love, Paul states, even if you have a language that is even greater than the tongues of angels and the tongues of man, without love, you sound like a tingling brass, a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. What does that mean? Nothing. Everything you say means nothing. If you don't have it in a love, you know, if it's not encapsulated in love, your words are just cymbals. What's that mean? I don't know. Means you're late for dinner? I don't know. I watched a TV show, it used to be years and years ago, about the gong. The guy would be singing, all of a sudden, bong, you know. They tell him, get off the stage, amen. We don't know about that. What is love? If we do not encapsulate our words in love, he said, we're like a tingling cymbal. Ding, ling, 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 that's it. He said, when you have knowledge without love. He said, I'm nothing. I know a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but if they don't encapsulate that knowledge with love, what good is it? Then he says, when you have works without love, the things that you do it without love. He illustrates it. He said, if you sell all my goods and have my body burned without love, it does what? It profits little. So Paul the Apostle is trying to get to say, hey, you know what? If you don't have your life and your thoughts and your mind and your heart in love, you wasted the air you're breathing. It's too bad you're on life here. Too bad you're living on this earth because you're taking up space. That's literally what he's saying. I don't know about you, but you know, boy, there's so many times in my life that I want to do so good and I want people to understand so much of the love of Jesus Christ. But if I don't show that, you're at your home, you have your children, and you know. But if there's no love with that, I heard one man said, it's like this. He says, when you have rules without love, you have rebellion. If the child knows that you love them so much, and you're trying to teach them something, a lot of knowledge is good. But if you don't explain why you're doing that, you're raising a rebellious child. So what do I want to do that for? Law, 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 law. Militant, 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 militant. Hey, buddy, I don't want you to do that because that's going to hurt you. And if it hurts you, it hurts me because I love you. Well, that's a good idea. Son, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to say that because if you say that on other people, they won't really know your heart. They'll just hear what you're saying. I want you to be respected and loved. That's how we teach our children. You know, when we try to teach our children something, the reason we're trying to teach them something is so they don't get hurt. Or to say they can learn. It's kind of like the judge said, hey, you're going to obey somebody. If you don't obey your daddy and mama, you're going to obey the justice system. And if you won't obey that, you're going to jail. And you're going to stay there a long time. So our parents, our responsibility is to teach a child, to teach our friends, teach our even elderly people, teach the elderly. You know, it's our responsibility to, you know, I say, I've heard it so many times, every man's my teacher. Every woman's my teacher. Every child's my teacher. We were discussing that in Sunday school. And I was telling about how that Rahab told the spies, the men who should have known everything, but he said, you know what? When the gate closes, you get out of here, and you go to the mountains, you stay there 3 days. Hey, she's telling, this harlot is telling these spies, these special forces men, what to do. And I told my class, I said, sometimes, you know, women are right. I saw a guy had a t-shirt deal. I think it was you that said something about, I don't ask directions. I'm a man. Now, bottom says, and I got a GPS. But anyway, you know, every once in a while, they're right. And by the way, every once in a while, ladies, your husband's right, too. And every once in a while, your kids are right. I remember one time my dad and I were, he bought a brand new crop sprayer. And it wouldn't work. And boy, he was getting frustrated. And, you know, time is money, money is time. And he said, man, I just got to get this thing working. And I said, Dad, I said, I think it's hooked up different. He said, it came from the factory. It can't be hooked up different. Well, I said, well, Dad, couldn't we just try it? Okay, let's try it. And guess what? It worked. He said, I didn't even see that. See, I became his teacher. Some things are going to come in your life that somebody's going to help you if you will let them help you. But I will tell you something. If you don't do it in love, what are you? You're just a ding-a-ling. That's what it says there. Let me remind you that Paul is not condemning the gifts. He's just placing things in proper order. He says, love is above all gifts that have been named in 1 Corinthians. Secondly, he gives a superior example of love. Verses 4 through 18. Look what characteristic true love will have upon another individual. There's some characteristics. Number one, long suffering. Literally, long-suffering, long. That's in the Greek way it does. Endures long. Waits. Some people don't get it the first time. Did you know that? Some people just don't hear you the first time. A lot of times you'll be accused of not doing what you're supposed to do. The problem is, the person who told you to do it did not explain it. Sometimes I would tell my boys, go get this, thinking in my brain and my great thing here, up here, this gray matter, I tell them, go get it, thinking that they had the experience and they had the knowledge that I had. They didn't. They're just a little kid. Hey, go get that wrench. Well, first of all, what wrench? And not only what wrench, but what kind of wrench? And where is that wrench? And if you need it immediately or yesterday, go get the wrench. Son, go into my red Craftsman toolbox. the center drawer. There's a 9/16 wrench in there. Go get that and bring it to me. Hurry, I'm in a hurry. Go get it, son. He goes there, it's not there. The reason it's not there? Because he's had it out in the yard. But anyway, there's so many times we miss out on some things that we're trying to teach people. They don't get it. They don't understand it. You girls, you understand everything about it. And you tell your husband to do something, and he goes, yeah, right, okay. He comes back with some potato chips and some hot dogs, but you send him for some angel food cake mix or milk. It's the best thing. I always tell my wife, I said, honey, just write it down on a list. Just write it down on a list, and I can take it and put it. And then she said, well, you're always forgetting where the list. I put the list. But anyway, love has this characteristic that says, hey, I am long-suffering long. I am enduring long. I'm willing to take time with you or for you. That's Christianity. I've heard a lot of dads say this. Well, you can't do it yourself. If I can't, just get out of the way, I'll do it. Well, what in the world did you teach your kid? Explain that to him. What did you teach your kid? What'd you teach him? You taught him, number one, he's not good enough. Number two, he's not smart. You taught him that he can't do it as good as you can do it. And you know what? You're right. But how's he going to learn? Mama said, get out of the kitchen. You're making a mess. I can do this so fast. Just get out of my way. I have it done. You're raising a daughter that's like the one I illustrated last Sunday. The man was looking for a wife that could cook and a clean house, and so was she. Teach them. Endure. Do you love them? Help them. I know some of them get on your mind, but, you know, we'll just pray about that. Secondly, look at the value love has. It has a personal value. It has a relative value. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. Here's what I mean. It's passive. I mean, it's not in your face type stuff. It's not going for the jugular vein. Passive. It endures. It endures evil threats. It endures evil treatment. It confers a blessing. That's true love. What did Jesus say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God came into this world and he loved sinners. Paul the Apostle said, I'm chief of that. God's true love confers a blessing. I love you. I suffer the cross for you. And by the way, Jesus said, we're to act like that about him. It also envieth not. Look at here. It says, this is the negative side. It gives us the idea of not to boil. I'm not talking about something you get on your arm or your head, a boil. I'm talking about not boiling. I'm talking about not giving the evil eye. I'm talking about jealousy and malice and grudge. That's what it says. I envy not. I do not boil when he doesn't do what I want him to do or I expected him to do. You ever be around certain people that just have a calming effect? Just a calming effect. I remember my dad out on the farm. Horse would get a little excited, you know. Tromped around. And my dad would hit it on the flank. Easy boy, easy boy. Easy, easy. And that old horse just kind of settled it back. Dog barking, somebody coming in down our lane. My dad, help, Duke, hush. And all of a sudden the dog just calmed. That is literally Christian love. It also says, see it in your Bible, it says, vaunteth not itself. The word vaunt means to, not to show off, does not want nor need to get the attention. There's certain people in this world always got to have the attention. They've got to be the ringleader. They got to be the run. They got to run it. They got to be, they just got to have the reins in their hands. They're the ones that's always got to drive. And sometimes that's good. Because the other person that, never mind. They're always one of the ones that, hey, come over and watch me. The Bible said, love wanteth not itself. Does not do its alms before men to be seen. He is not a bragger. Amen. That's incredible. And then the Bible said, it will not puffed up. This says, this has the word picture, does not have the purse. Does not have the purse. I had a cousin always bragging on himself. If I had $10, he had $100. If I had a nice bicycle, he had the best. You know, I had a J.C. Penney, I mean, I had a Sears Roebuck, he had a Swin. You know, never could you outdo him. That's what the Bible says. Not puffed up. Has no inflated arrogance. Does not behave himself unseemly. Verse 5. Has this idea of vulgar indecorum. Behaving himself unseemly. In other words, he's mean. He's mean. Does not have a root of selfishness. He's not alien from love. He does not need sympathy. His noble manners are ever the fruit of noble mind. He's noble. You know, there's a lot of things stuck into this chapter 13. He seeketh not her own interests. What can I get out of this? Self-seeking is the root of all evil. It is not easily provoked. I read this and I was amazed about what this man wrote. He says, as a spark that falls into the sea, it does not hurt the sea, but itself is extinguished. So an evil thing befalling a loving soul will be extinguished without disquieted. You know, some people get set on fire real quick. I mean, all of a sudden, man, they're on fire. Some of you ladies know how to push your husband's button. Boy, I tell you what, something goes on, and man, you just, and he just, poof. That's not true love, is it? True love is like the spark that falls into the sea. It doesn't hurt the sea. Thinketh no evil. Literally, it does not impute. It does not impute. Does not reckon the evil. It takes account of and does not put it in a ledger of a book. That's actually what it means. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful to have you'd be like that? I'd be like that. I don't have my little ledger. Oh yeah. Took advantage of me this time. Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah. Oh hey, you remember when you did that? I got it right here. Oh yeah. Yeah. Wow. Love is not suspicious. It has no retentive in her memory of evil doing. That's true love. Paul writes this, and he says, listen, this is what true love is, and this is what true love isn't. Love writes off our personal wrongs in the ashes of water. Rejoices not in iniquity or in righteousness. Sees no real joy in it. Or rejoicing at sin, or exultation over the fall of other who are in sin. We don't do that with true love. Nah. That's what you get. Good for you. I told you so. God says, no. That's not in our vocabulary as a Christian. Amen. Wow, that's powerful. But rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things. takes the best and the kindest view of all men's circumstances, not gullible, but has faith in men. The word picture is of a housing over the deck of a ship that takes the beating of the storm and bears the burden so that you can be inside and stay warm and dry. Literally, when somebody says something about Brother Rick, I am to cover him. He doesn't even need to know it. I'm going to bear his burden. That's true love. Amen. Somebody says something about your wife. Don't go tell her. That's going to hurt her. Somebody says something about your husband. You don't need to keep regurgitating that. True love says, I'm going to bear your burden. Wow! I wish I could live this. And by the way, that's what the Bible said. We are to keep trying and trying and trying. I'm going to fail. But bless God, I'd rather fail trying than never try anyway. Amen. And I know a lot of people just. This is what, next one. Hopeth all things. Looks positive. Sees the brilliant side of things. Endureth all things. 70 times 7, 490 times. Keep forgiving every day, and then you got to turn it over and do it again. Charity never faileth. This phrase has two meanings. Technically, I never hiss. Technically, you are never hissed off the stage like a bad actor. And secondly, it never falls away like the petals of a withered flower. In other words, true love survives everything. There's two sides to love. The side of receiving, the side of giving. Let us be more on the side of giving than the side of receiving. Amen? There's maybe prosody. They're done away. Maybe tongues, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, vanish away. For we know in part. In other words, when God's word was completed, that's what Paul is writing here. He said it'll take care of itself. The supreme expectancy of love, there will be no failure in love. There will be a maturity in love. When a person experiences perfect love, it means he's full grown, mature, and then he's at his end. Amen. Before we, as a child, we walked. We understood as a child. We felt and we thought and we reasoned as a child. That's mine, and you can't have it. You take one little fire truck in that toddler one nursery in there, and you just put it down the middle, and you turn a bunch of your kids loose in there, and you got one fight. And usually the girls win, because they scream the loudest. But the boys bite, and then they're put on parole. That's a child thinking. When I was growing up, we didn't have much. My dad said, we'll eat good and we'll have clean clothes. He said, what more is there in life? One day, my sister got a pack of double mint chewing gum. And we happened to stop over to our neighbor's house. And my little sister, who hardly ever got gum, asked this little girl, would you like some gum? And she took the whole package. And little Lois, she about went crazy, but she didn't say much. And the reason why is this little girl was the child of a 40 and a 41-year-old parent who's the only child they had, and that's all that little girl knew. She got the whole thing. But at our house, if one person had one stick of gum, all of us get a fourth. And we're happy about it. Amen. Sometimes we don't reason very well because we're still kids. I reason as a child mind. The riddles of life are seemingly obscure. But when we become adult, we say, oh, now I see what God had for me. It's like this video we just saw. He's wonderful, this wonderful pastor and his wife doing great work, and this young man that just loved the Lord is full of life. And all of a sudden, just gone. And the young Christians say, I can't believe God would do that. But the mature Christian says, God makes no mistakes. I have confidence in God that He knows what He's doing. I'm persuaded because of my life as a Christian, I know that God knows what He's doing. And I want what God wants, not what I want. Because I'm His servant. A child Christian could be 80 years old, doesn't understand anything about what God's doing, and they get so mad, and they say, I'll never be in church again. Boy, that person didn't wave at me, and that person didn't say hi at me, and this person did this, and that person, and they're always up there singing, and I never get to sing, and blah, blah, blah. That's called, I was a child, I thought I was a child. We're here to be a blessing, not a curse. There will be perpetuity in love. States of qualifying are lasting forever, a bond or security with no fixed maturity date. It's a financial term, perpetuity. We get the phrase, or for perpetuity forever, endless. Talks about the love. And now, abideth faith, hope, charity, the three. But the greatest of these is charity. The Corinthians were spiritual babies. They were striving for the temporal. They were going for the temporary, neglecting the permanent. They were willing to sacrifice the permanent on the altar of immediate. So many are like that. All they wanted was a passing grade without studying. They wanted their passing gifts instead of lasting Christian character. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, a man can be saved in a moment, but it takes a lifetime to build a Christian character. Love will never fail, nor will it ever cease to have the force or authority. These other gifts will pass away. Prophetic utterances may be replaced by the Word of God. Were replaced by the word. Tongues for authenticity were no longer needed. Gifts for special knowledge stepped aside for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God. The Word of God, love, is the grace it produces will last forever. Amen. There's a lot to love and a lot to challenge. Father, I pray You'd be with us today. Thank You for loving us and caring for us. Lord, You're a great God. Lord, so many times we fail You and we come so short to the things that we need to be doing. Lord, help us to learn the lesson of love. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. Let me tell you something. Unless you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no way possible that you can understand about love. I want to ask you this question. If you died today, would you go to heaven? I talked to a young man yesterday. I said, he had one of them real hot motorcycles in the back of his truck. And I said, let me ask you a question. If you crashed that thing and you died, where would you go? He said, I'd go to heaven. I said, how do you know that? He said, I asked Jesus in my heart. I said, man, that's great to know. I hope today that you've invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior. If you haven't, today's the day of salvation. Why don't you pray right now and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe You died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. You say, preacher, today I prayed that prayer. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. You're here today and say, preacher, God has spoke to my heart about many things in my life. I need to get right with God today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. We have a time of invitation. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. bless you, man. Well, you may be seated. This morning has come forward to let you all know that God has called him to be a preacher and study for the ministry. And we thank God for that. Amen. And I want you to pray for Sam. He is going to, November 2013, he's going to resign from the Air Force and go into the ministry. There's a lot of work. Man, I thought of it today. I was so happy, but I thought, amen. And praise the Lord, brother. And we're praying that he stays here and goes to college here so we can keep him here, amen. But God may have a different idea, and we'll just trust the Lord in that, amen. But pray for Sam and his wife, God and his children. And God is certainly, two good daughters and a little boy. God will certainly do a great work. Come here, brother. I want you to tell what God's doing in your heart. First of all, being a preacher, you got to eat this like an ice cream cone, all right? That looks good.
Well, I love being in the military, and I love everything the military does. A couple weeks ago, Brother Ortiz was talking, and he was telling me about answering the call in God's life for you, and he said he's seen men lose their families and lose their wives, and the only thing I could think about was my wife and my boy, and I love them too much, and I don't know how I'm going to do this, and kind of nervous about talking in front of people, and the only thing I'm good at is being in the military, but God has other plans, so I'm just going to follow God's plans, but I'm going to need your guys' help because it's going to be a struggle for me. It's going to be hard for me, and it's going to be really tough. But I'm going to do this with God's help.
Amen. You'd be amazed how not tough it is. And when you're doing what God wants you to do, God is there for you. And if he wants you to be a preacher, you can't do anything else. But if you can do anything else, go do it. Just go do it. All right.